So we're going to be getting edged weapons in the brewery.
That's so edgy.
Right? We've found ourselves in a sort of partnership with Chop Shop. Axe throwing Watch. Group out of Charleston. Shop. They're going to be Retrofit. Setting up a axe throwing area inside the brewery.
What could go wrong?
I don't know, but they're in charge of the liability, so as long as they're covered, I'm covered.
You have to sign a waiver, pass a drug test, and relinquish your social security. This is not a liability podcast. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 20 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs...
like us.
...decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Conjugal Travisit.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's actually true. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, The Shawshank Redemption.
Low-hanging fruit.
It was right there, dude. I just had to. And in addition, we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show returning guest, Chain Gang Chelsea.
Nice.
Chain Gang Chelsea. How's that drink treating you?
It's...
It's quite strong.
Yeah.
Chelsea accidentally made herself a double.
It's that toilet wine.
The hooch. Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, Watch, Chop, Retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And we succeed at midnight.
Yes. And with that, we're going to go ahead and go into our first miniature segment, which is, it's a fun-sized edition of movie news. And we're going to start it off with a couple of RIPs. First, Robert Evans, acclaimed... producer of films like Chinatown and The Godfather and Urban Cowboy, has passed away at the age of 89. And Sean, you were mentioning one of your favorites of his films.
It was a documentary about him called The Kid Stays in the Picture.
So that's not the name of a feature film?
As I recall it, it's a straight up doc.
Huh, okay.
And it's a cool one. You kind of really get a feel for what Robert was like, mm-hmm. and he seems like your classic, cool,
yeah,
Hollywood dude.
Well, he was somewhat controversial. He was arrested for distribution of cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he said it was for personal use. And also, the movie The Cotton Club that he was trying to get off the ground became the scene of a murder for hire. And also, rest in peace to... Friday actor and comedian John Witherspoon, who passed away at the age of 77.
Yeah, that's sad.
Ain't nobody going to take no stinking shit in my bathroom. Sad.
I saw this breaking on me. I saw it breaking on Twitter as hashtag RIP Spoon. Uh-huh. And I was like, did the band break up?
Oh.
Oh, no.
But why did they call him Spoon?
Witherspoon.
Oh, Witherspoon. Yeah, I gotcha. No relation to Reese. And then also, the former Game of Thrones showrunners have announced that they are backing off of the next Star Wars trilogy that they were slated to direct or produce.
Yeah, it says they're backing off, but it stinks of they were fired.
Well, they also signed a deal with Netflix the day before.
I'm not against anybody making money and keeping employment, but there must have been something in the water because Kathleen Kennedy, who's the head of Lucasfilm, she's become the Donald Trump of movie making.
Gotcha.
She likes to fire people.
You're fired.
Yeah, she goes around firing folks all the time.
So also, weirdly, that same day it was announced that the Game of Thrones prequel series, The Long Night, was canceled. That's the one that they already shot the pilot for, starring Naomi Watts. But a different Game of Thrones prequel series called The Dragon something, Night of the Dragon, something like that, is going forward.
Hmm. Okay.
So, weird. That is not movie news at all. That's going to wrap us up on movie news for this week, our fun size edition, which brings us to the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
You know, I guess I do like to correct Travis, but what does he expect when he calls himself Wrong Travis? I mean, he's pretty much asking for it. That said, Eve Arden was the co-star of The Mothers-in-Law, not Eve Garden. I think it was Marco who said he was in it, but I didn't see that Eric Roberts was in Wolf Cop. and Joshua Jackson was in Dawson's Creek. That's it. Happy Halloween.
All right. Thank you very much, Dana. And I just have a correction for you. Halloween was yesterday. And that's going to close the doors of the Department of Corrections Department for this week and bring us to the theme of our episode. Tonight, there's going to be a jailbreak because we're talking about jailbreak movies. How do we feel about that, guys?
This was my idea to do this theme, and it was largely inspired by Criterion Collection. They did a segment of jailbreak films, and I was like, you know, that's a great subgenre or theme of movies. That there's so many things you can do with a jailbreak. Mm-hmm. It's either the actual mechanics behind the jailbreak itself,
the logistics,
or what happens when you're out on the lam and trying to
or getting caught.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things that can happen, and as we'll see in a lot of these films, all those themes can be explored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the you mentioned it's a subgenre of prison movies, and a prison film is a film genre concerned with prison life and often prison escape. These films range from acclaimed dramas examining the nature of prisons, such as Cool Hand Luke, Midnight Express, Brubaker, Escape from Alcatraz, The Shawshank Redemption, and Kiss of the Spider-Woman, to actions like Lock Up and Undisputed, which I think Undisputed is about like fighting in prison, and even comedies satirizing the genre like Stir Crazy, Life, and Let's Go to Prison. Prison films have been asserted to be, quote, guilty of oversimplifying complex issues, the end result of which is the proliferation of stereotypes. For example, they're said to perpetuate, quote, a common misperception that most correctional officers are abusive. I don't know if that's a misconception. And that prisoners are, quote, violent and beyond redemption. That being said, let's go ahead and move into our first segment, which is the Midnight Devil feature. This is where we go around the panel and we each mention two films that are within the genre we're speaking of. This week it's prison break movies. And Chelsea, would you like to go first since you're our guest?
Sure. I have a terrible double feature.
Okay.
It's awful.
Great.
I'm going to start with 2015's The Sanford Prison Experiment.
Stanford.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Has Billy Crudup. Yeah, like that. It's just a sad, fucked up movie that makes you sad about humanity, basically.
And it's based on a true story. There was a psychological experiment that took place at Stanford where a certain amount of the student body was playing the role of prisoners, whereas the other portion was playing guards. And within like hours, the power got to their head and they started abusing each other.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what are you going to pair that with?
I'm going to follow that up with a happier movie, The Emoji Movie.
The Emoji Movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Remind me how that's a prison break movie.
Well, here's the thing. The emojis want to get out, and they have to use a code called jailbreak
to
get out. So I'm going to watch that.
It actually is interesting because if you just type in the phrase jailbreak...
it's all about jailbreaking your phone.
Yeah, it's all about hacking your iPhone. All right, Sean, what's your midnight double feature going to be?
I'm going to go with a couple of noir films. The first being from 1948, Raw Deal, not to be confused with Arnold Schwarzenegger's Raw Deal.
Okay.
This is directed by Anthony Mann and stars Dennis O'Keefe, Claire Trevor, and Marsha Hunt. It's about a guy, Joe Sullivan. He's taking the rap for Rick, who is a guy who's double-crossed him, and he's gotten him into prison as a result of the double-cross.
I don't know, Rick.
They've hacked a flawed escape plan. He was meant to get caught, but he ends up breaking out, and he's with his main squeeze, played by Claire Trevor, and they end up with another woman on the caseworker on him. They end up abducting her, and so it has a little bit of a... what do you call it when you kidnap somebody?
And Stockholm syndrome.
Thank you. So they're on the lam for quite a while, and they finally make it back to L.A. And Raymond Burr plays the mobster boss
that
he's trying to get. Yeah. He's the one that double-crossed him. And so there's a big confrontation with him. And I always associate Raymond Burr as being rather rotund.
Uh-huh.
This is a young Raymond Burr where he's
a
big, strapping guy.
Okay.
And it's got a pretty cool... pretty cool climactic scene at the end. So that's a neat one. And I'm following it with 1986's Down by Law. And this is by Jim Jarmusch.
Uh-huh.
And it stars Tom Waits, okay, John Lurie, and Roberto Benigni from Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
And this, he describes it himself as kind of like a beat noir.
Okay.
And
like it, Dwight Schrute beats?
No, more like Beatnik.
Oh, like.
And this takes place in Louisiana. These guys each independently find themselves in the same cell. Various, two of them are set up. Roberto, he's just too dumb, really, okay, quite frankly. He finds himself in
real
prison.
Life, actually.
Oh, is he?
No.
Anyway, so the three of them end up in prison. They hatch an escape plan and split, and they you know, make a run for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those slice of life portrait kind of films where the jailbreak is just incidental to exploring each of the characters and where they want to go in life. So those are the two noir films I'm throwing out there.
Sounds
for jailbreaks.
Good. Very classy. My movies actually are by the same writer, director, producer team, Joel and Ethan Coen. The first one needs no introduction. We've talked about it at length on this show, and that's going to be Raising Arizona. The prison break is kind of a subplot,
yes,
in the movie because our main character's friends escape from prison while he and his wife are kidnapping a baby. Then we've got Oh Brother, Where Art Thou from 2000. Just a outstanding metaphor for a lot of Greek mythology in particular, like the Odyssey.
Yep.
We've got three inmates who have escaped off of the chain gang. We've got George Clooney, we've got John Turturro, and then Tim Blake Nelson is the third.
Blake Nelson's in the current Watchmen TV series.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I have still yet to check that out. Ulysses Everett McGill, played by George Clooney, is having difficulty adjusting to his hard labor sentence in Mississippi. He scams his way off the chain gang with Simple Delmar, played by Tim Blake Nelson, and Maladjusted Pete, played by John Turturro. Then the trio sets out to pursue freedom and the promise of a fortune that Everett McGill says is buried somewhere. With nothing to lose and still in shackles, their hasty run takes them on an incredible journey of awesome experiences and colorful characters. This is one of my favorite of the Coen brothers' many great movies. They're not all good. There's a couple of outliers, but this one is pretty much hands down a nearly perfect film.
Great production, and of course the soundtrack is amazing. So good.
T-Bone Burnett produced the soundtrack, I'm pretty sure.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So yeah, that's going to be my pair of Coen Brothers Prison Break movies. So let's go ahead and bring it into the first part of our main segment, which is the recast. For the recast, the first movie we're going to do is from 1967. It was directed by Stuart Rosenberg. It's got a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and we're talking about Cool Hand Luke.
What are you doing there, fella?
I'm just cut to a neat thing.
You better come along with us.
You learn the rules. It's all up to you. I can be a good guy, or I can be one real mean son bitch.
Any man with dirty pants on sitting on a bunk spends a night in a box. Any man don't bring back his empty pop bottle spends a night in a box. Any man don't keep order spends a night in a box. I hope you ain't gonna be a hard case.
Who's that?
It's Godfrey.
Welcome, boss.
You don't listen much, do you, boy?
I ain't heard that much worth listening to.
His mind ain't right. He's got rabbit in his blood. And he runs.
Hell, I'd like to see you try to run again.
Get the man, boy. Get the man.
Open that up, here, boss.
Man, things just never the way they seem. You know that a man's got to go his own way.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. You're gonna get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. But you never stop listening to them clinking.
You try to run again, we're gonna kill you.
You a good old boy, Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. How do you guys feel about this film?
I just watched the trailer.
Okay. So. And what did it inspire you to want to watch the movie?
No.
No? Okay. What was your impression of it from the trailer?
I finally understood. I thought I had seen it before, mm-hmm. and I knew that the famous line.
Yeah. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Yes.
You probably just heard that Guns N' Roses song.
Ew, gross. I don't like Guns N' Roses. That's disgusting.
And Sean, how do you feel about Cool Hand Luke?
I really like it, and it's been years since I've seen the movie,
uh-huh.
and so I went back and watched some clips to kind of refresh my memory, and a lot of those really great scenes kind of came back to me. And mm-hmm. Paul Newman's character, Luke, is very, he's almost like a trickster.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
He's very lighthearted, happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
And that's...
Doesn't seem to be... the weight of his imprisonment isn't really showing. He doesn't wear it on his sleeve.
Right. And of course, you know, what wins over his fellow inmates, especially George Kennedy, is the fact that he just won't back down. And he is stubborn to that degree. Yeah, it's an interesting film. I mean, the boiled egg scene
yeah.
alone is worth watching.
All right, just a quick recap. We've got... Petty criminal Luke Jackson, played by Paul Newman. He's sentenced to 2 years in a Florida prison farm. He doesn't play by the rules of either the sadistic warden, played by Strother Martin, or the yard's resident heavy, Dragline, played by George Kennedy, who ends up admiring the new guy's unbreakable will. Luke's bravado, even in the face of repeated stints in the prison's dreaded solitary confinement cell called The Box, makes him a rebel hero to his fellow convicts and a thorn in the side of the prison officers. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 roles that we're going to recast. We've got Luke, played by Paul Newman. We've got Dragline, played by George Kennedy. The captain, or the warden, played by Strother Martin. And then Lucille, played by Joy Harmon. So, Chelsea, who's going to be your Luke?
When I was recasting this, I was thinking about things that I'd rather be watching. Okay. So that inspired my recast.
Sounds good.
So I'm going to pick Jared Keeso as my Paul Newman.
Queso?
No, it's Keeso.
It's a pretty cheesy pick.
Why? I want to see him without his shirt on.
Who is that person?
He's from Letterkenny.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's why
we're gonna strap this guy down and make him watch Letter.
Oh, it's so good. You have
like
got
those little things that make your eyeballs stay open.
From Clockwork Orange.
Yes. All right. So, Sean, who's gonna be your Paul Newman? I knew you were excited about this one, right?
I'm really excited about this because I wasn't into it until I made my first pick. And once I made my first pick, the dominoes started following.
Uh huh.
You realize that Paul Newman and Strother Martin were in another movie together?
No. What was it?
Slapshot.
Oh, the hockey movie.
Yeah, Strother.
Awesome.
Strother was
movie.
The team owner. And,
okay.
Yeah, some great scenes with the two of them.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's unrelated to the pick. Paul Newman is about a 5'9", kind of smallish guy.
Okay.
And I kind of went with a guy who's 5'8.5", he claims. I don't know if he is quite all that. Newman's 42.
Do you think he's lying about being 5'8.5"?
Yeah, I say I'm 5'7", and I always fudge that extra quarter inch to get me to 5'7". Right. So anyway, Newman's 42. We all know that back then guys looked older than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
So my actor is 50 years old, and it's Paul Rudd.
Oh, the most wholesome man in America.
Yeah, but he's got the smirkiness
yes.
that Newman would have.
I'm actually seeing some good face value on that. That's a good pick, man.
Thanks.
All right, well, my actor is 33 now. I had Paul Newman at 44. Him and George Kennedy, I had them each at 44 years old.
I had 42. That's interesting.
That is the ultimate answer to the ultimate question, the life, the universe, and everything. So my actor was in The Social Network. Did I mention he's 33? 33
just
now.
Like me.
Yes, just like Chelsea. Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
And I think that we did give you a happy birthday on the show last week,
you
right?
You did.
Didn't we say so? He's also in Call Me By Your Name, one of Sean's favorite movies. and he's in The Lone Ranger. His name is Armie Hammer.
Oh, yes.
Armie Hammer,
heir to the Armie Hammer fortune.
That
it's actually not true, but he is the grandson of Armand Hammer, which is also his name, who was a oil tycoon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I can see that.
For sure. He's got the blue eyes. He's kind of got the dreaminess, all-American white guy thing going on. All right. So, next up, we've got the heavy Dragline, played by George Kennedy. Didn't we recast George Kennedy in something recently? What was it?
I came across it this week in my research, and I've already forgotten.
I can't remember either. But
he's just that big guy, man.
Yeah,
for sure. He was 6'3".
Yeah.
Big fella.
Like we said, he plays Dragline, and he's kind of like a trustee, right? He has a little bit more authority than your general inmates.
He's got a little power among the inmates, right.
All right, and so, Chelsea, who is your Dragline?
Oh, this actor is also from Letterkenny.
Okay.
And if you find yourself bored, please YouTube one of his stand-up things called Fancy Hats.
Okay.
It's hilarious. His name is Mark Forward.
Mark Forward. Mark Forward. I feel like I've heard that name. Or I've seen it somewhere.
I think Sean did a similar thing.
Did
like,
I?
You used a Letterkenny cast.
Well, I think Joey did a couple of weeks ago, too.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. All right, so...
I think the universe is trying to point to Travis to watch Letterkenny.
At least watch the Fancy Hat
I'm still
thing.
Not convinced that it's not that band Sleater-Kinney. Sean, who's your Dragline going to be?
All right, so again, keeping in mind the height as well, my actor's 6'1", and he's played some larger-than-life characters. He's 53 years old.
Okay.
He's been in Rampage. He's been in The Walking Dead. He's been in The Losers. He played the comedian in the movie The Watchmen. It's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's awesome. He's also Negan.
That's what I said from Walking Dead. Yeah. But he's got that big booming voice.
Didn't we talk about him recently? Because I said that he was on Grey's Anatomy. He was the guy who dies. He dies in Grey's Anatomy.
Was it Katherine Heigl's boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
Is Denny.
Got it.
Denny Duquette.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's back when I actually watched
it. That was a gut-wrenching episode.
So my actor is 42 now. He's in Neighbors. He was also in Blockers and Suicide Squad. His name is Ike Barinholtz. Ike Barinholtz. And he's a tall guy, too.
I came across him this week several times.
Yeah. It's great minds, man. Ike Barinholtz. He's kind of got that... I don't know, crooked smile. He's very tall. He's funny. I think he'll be a good addition to this cast. All right, next up, we've got the captain, the warden, played by Strother Martin, who was 48 at the time. And just keeping this rotation going, Chelsea.
Oh, surprise. He's from Letterkenny.
Oh.
I know, shocker. his name is K. Trevor Wilson.
K, as in the letter K?
Yes.
The letter Kenny?
Yes.
Is that Squirrely Dan?
It's Squirrely Dan.
Okay.
He's a pretty good stand-up comic as well.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Sean?
All right. So there is one criteria for this part, and you have to be able to deliver that line impeccably. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And I got a 64-year-old.
Whoa.
Strother was 48.
Yep.
64 years old. He's been in films such as Slither.
Okay.
Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Ah. Ooh,
that should be the dead giveaway. He was in Mallrats. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's Michael Rooker.
Yes.
I think Rooker nail this part.
So I have not seen Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Is it good?
It's not great.
Okay.
But it's
disturbing.
Disturbing in a very mundane way. It's just, it's off, man.
First thing I remember seeing him in was Cliffhanger. He was one of the bad guys in Cliffhanger.
He was born in Alabama, too.
No shit.
And this all takes place in Florida. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can you get a more like Southern country name than Strother?
Right.
Come on. Strother Billy Bob Martin. My actor is 48 now. What do you know? He's done more television than he has movies. He is in, or was in, 6 Feet Under. He's also in a new movie that I'm interested in seeing. I think Marco was talking about it, called In the Shadow of the Moon. And he's also, of course, on Dexter. His name is Michael C. Hall.
Okay.
Michael C. Hall is going to be my...
You used him like 2 weeks ago.
No way.
You totally did.
I used...
No, you didn't. You used him.
Jonathan Hall from the Brat Pack. Right? Anthony Michael Hall. That's who I used. Anthony Michael Hall. Then, finally, we've got Lucille. Just for some eye candy, right?
Well,
So here's the thing. We've got this character in the film who's the only woman that these guys have seen in years, basically. And she's got a very infamous scene where she's washing a car very seductively.
While they're on the chain gang.
Right. And other than the fact that they are in this kind of gender vacuum, she's not really that good looking. Like in the face.
Yeah, no,
she's got a decent figure.
Yeah, no offense to Joy Harmon, but she was given the part for her physique. Yeah, absolutely.
The term hatchet face comes to mind.
Oh, brutal.
That's rough.
All right. So, Chelsea, who's your Lucille?
She's also on Letterkenny.
Okay.
It's a Canadian show. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
With the girl from Portlandia? No, that's Sleater-Kinney.
Her name is Camilla Kowal. It's Bonnie McMurray.
You went with Bonnie. Nice job.
Yeah, curveball. I'm giving it an upgrade.
I like that.
Yeah.
Bonnie McMurray.
She's the best.
And Sean.
Okay, so 27 years old for Joy Harmon. I went with another 27-year-old quote-unquote actress.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Is it Kate Upton?
She has been in a few movies that you know. The Layover, The Three Stooges, Tower Heist, and The Other Woman. But she has been known to do some footage for commercials in which she rides all over a car.
Uh-huh.
It's Kate Upton.
I knew it.
Yeah, of course. It's a no-brainer.
That is awesome. You know, I actually thought about her too, but I thought you would make fun of me again.
Well, yeah, because you tried to cast her in a real role. But I was just going off of her Hardee's commercial where she just kind of rolled around on the backseat of a car.
Yeah, she took over for Paris Hilton. So my Lucille is also 27 now. She's a German actress. So she's in a movie called Berlin, I Love You. She's also in Oscar Pistorius, Blade Runner Killer. And she's also in Head Full of Honey. Her name is Toni Garn. Toni Garn is going to be my Lucille. I upgraded
she's
as well.
Pretty.
Yeah,
she is unknown to me.
Me too. But she's the right age. She's blonde and she's good looking. So the scene is going to make a lot more sense in our remake. All right. So what else do we need to say about Cool Hand Luke?
It's a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up for me for sure.
Chelsea, you should watch it.
The trailer was,
the trailer
decent.
Was decent.
I will say this. The trailer does not do a great job of selling you on the film.
No. Okay.
I watched the trailer because as listeners to the show might notice, we've been putting in some of the audio trailers. The original trailer is pretty bad because it keeps looping the same failure to communicate.
Oh. Yeah, I thought it was a broken link at first, and I watched it again.
It's in the trailer.
They just really wanted to get that across.
Five times.
All right, so that is going to wrap up our first half, our first segment, the recast, and that's going to bring us to intermission, but not before we say, let's all go to the lobby, let's all go to the lobby, let's all go to the lobby, and get ourselves a cake with a nail file through it.
Nailed it.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it and multiply.
A Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back from intermission, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us. And when we come back from intermission, what do we like to do, Sean?
Beer check-in.
And so we're going to start with the closest beer to an on-theme beer for this week's episode that we could find. And it's also left over from Scary Movie Night. It's called Daycation. Daycation IPA from Highland Brewing. You know them because they started all this craft beer bullshit. So we're going to try that. And while we enjoy it, we're going to get into our 2019 movie marathon. It is the 305th day of the year. And I'm on number 300. I finally got through that door.
Dang, dude.
And I'm only 5 movies behind the date. So I probably should have shown a couple movies I'd never seen for Scary Movie Night just to knock out a couple. But those were good. We watched Night of the Living Dead, as well as The Lost Boys, and then had a bonus feature of 1958's The Blob.
Ooh.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Nice.
All right, so my first check-in for this week is going to be number 291, and speaking of horror films, it's a documentary called Why Horror from 2014, and it is available on, I believe, Amazon Prime right now, and it is a documentary that attempts to answer the question, why do people enjoy being scared by movies? And it's pretty in-depth and really delves into the kind of cultural significance that horror has in society. So, Sean, what do you think of the beer first?
It's okay. It's a light drinker.
Yeah, it's a session IPA.
Yeah, session IPA, 4.9%. So it's exactly as advertised.
Uh-huh. But a daycation might be all you get if you try to bust out of the clink, so to speak.
So I am going to check in another Jailbreak movie.
Okay.
This one's number 344 for me. And that puts me at what?
What number are you on?
344.
You are on 344?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice, dude.
So I'm only, you're 21 away?
21 away.
So this is called Brute Force from 1947.
Okay.
This stars Burt Lancaster.
All right.
Who, every time I see him now, I'm convinced that Sebastian Stan is Burt Lancaster reborn.
Okay.
I've recast him as him before.
Interesting.
And So Burt Lancaster leads his men on a can't-win prison break with an explosive climax. Most impressive in this film is Hume Cronin playing this riveting performance as a sadistic Captain Muncie.
Okay.
And I mentioned this to you, I think last night or Wednesday night, that I always associated Hume Cronin with Cocoon.
Yeah, and just being really old.
And Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
No, he is reptilian in how cold-blooded he is in
this
film.
No shit, so he's kind of a badass in this.
He wants to be the warden. And he lets the jailbreak proceed because if it happens on the warden's watch, the warden will get sacked.
Yeah.
And so he's ruthless, but also he is an authoritarian to the point where he believes that brutal, forceful punishment is the only way to go. Mm-hmm. He's horrible.
Gotcha.
But it's like what makes this character even better than what you would expect is that he's not mean about it.
Okay.
He's matter of fact about it.
Gotcha.
Which almost has like a serial killer kind of quality to it.
Yeah. Even almost more cruel.
Yeah. So I really recommend this. So you should check this film out.
Nice. Well, a movie that I don't really, really recommend is number 294, 47 Meters Down, Uncaged. And my review was, all it took was being trapped in an underwater Mayan burial cave for these stepsisters to love each other. So, yeah, it is a sequel to 47 Meters Down. In this one, they're not in a cage. And it takes place in Mexico. And the father in the movie is a underwater archaeologist. His daughters, he's married and has two stepdaughters, or a daughter and a stepdaughter, who are stepsisters, and they're nothing alike. They don't get along at all. One's super popular, one's very nerdy and standoffish, but they get placed in this situation by their own poor judgment. They get placed in this situation and have to work it out, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Not a good movie, not a recommend, but still one that I watched.
Cool. Well, I'm going to follow suit and give you one that I don't recommend either. This is number 240 for me. It's Eli.
Okay.
And I believe Eli is on Netflix.
The one with Denzel Washington, where he's got the Bible on his iPod?
No.
That's the Book of Eli.
The Book of Eli. Mm. This is The Boy in the Bubble meets The Sixth Sense meets Rosemary's Baby. It is a yawn fest.
Well,
you say The Boy in the Bubble, do you mean Bubble Boy with Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, I meant the John Travolta Boy in the Bubble.
Never heard of it.
It's like a after school special about a
kid in a bubble.
Kid who can't.
That's kind of what the Jake Gyllenhaal one was based off of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Isn't it based on a true story, though?
Well, yeah, there have been
about
kids
the Bubble
who
Boy
can't.
From Seinfeld?
Moops. Moops. It says Moops. This kid, he can't exist in the outside world, mm-hmm. so he lives in a bubble. His parents find this institute that has an experimental procedure that they have to pay big money to get him into, and he gets in there, and they're doing all these experiments on him. There are like three phases that he has to go through. He begins to communicate with ghosts, and they're trying to tell him
it's a side effect.
Other things, and they keep saying it's a side effect of the experiment. And,
Bubble boys see ghosts sometimes.
Oh boy, I'm not going to give away the climax, but boy, is it just—it's like a deflated balloon. It just
it was exciting up until a point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Chelsea saw this too.
And then they dropped the ball.
Yes. It was like, this is kind of cool. This is kind of interesting, and then just.
Well, The real evil in the film is not
what you think
really
it is.
Evil. Well, no, I'm saying the truly evil part of the film, I ain't buying it. And it was just kind of boring.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Well, my third and final check-in for this week is going to be one that is not boring. It is a movie that you've checked in before as well. It's number 298, and it's called Good Boys. Good Boys, I watched with my lovely wife, Michelle, and we both thoroughly enjoyed it. Laughed our asses off. But my review said, title should have been Naive Boys because these kids don't know shit about shit. That being said, a hilarious coming-of-age comedy. And I will go ahead and correct myself. In my review, I spelled no, N-O, instead of K-N-O-W. But hey, man, it was a long day. So I really liked that one. So I'm going to go recommend on Why Horror, don't recommend on 47 Meters Down Uncaged, and recommend on Good Boys.
Wasn't Tremblay really good in Good Boys?
Oh, so good, dude. Yeah, they were all good. And I think that of the three beanbag boys, the black one, I'm pretty sure he's the kid on Last Man on Earth, the kid that they find.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm going to finish out with, and I think you checked this in, Greener Grass.
Yep.
Dude, an absurdist suburban comedy of consumerism and one-upsmanship.
Yep.
I loved it. It's an ideal double feature with Viva by Anna Biller.
Yeah, okay.
So over the top, suburbia, paradise, and just
really weird. Fucking weird. And the two main female leads in the movies are actually the writer and director of the film.
That's right.
A comedic team. And let's see.
I still just want to know why the fuck everyone had fucking braces.
Why are they wearing braces?
What the fuck?
For real.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to go ahead and pop open a beer from the same brewery that made that dreadful Does This Look Infected that we drank last week. This is called Dystopian Galaxy. It's a double dry hopped IPA, 8.3% with, I presume, Galaxy hops. Greener Grass, Jocelyn DeBoer and Don Luebe.
That's right.
Luebe?
Luebbe, L-U-E-B-B-E. So she played Lisa, and Jocelyn DeBoer played Jill, the two main characters in the film. And then you also have, speaking of Last Man on Earth, oh, wait, no, that's a different movie that Will Forte was in, isn't it?
You're thinking about Extraordinary.
Extraordinary, okay. Which I watched back-to-back with Greener Grass.
But Beck Bennett is
Beck
in,
Bennett is in
Greener, Grass.
Greener Grass, and both of whom were on SNL. All right, so that's going to wrap us up on the Midnight Movie Marathon.
Oh, no.
The 2019 movie marathon. And Sean has just tasted.
Oh, my God.
Is it also infected?
It's not infected. I'll tell you what this is. This is brewer talk. If you push a beer out too fast, if you don't let the yeast settle and you have too much yeast in suspension, you get what tastes like if you've ever had to, like, when you were a kid, you couldn't swallow pills. Mm-hmm. You take like an aspirin and like crush it up in the water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it has that aspirin taste to
like
it.
Like chalky?
Chalky aspirin bitterness.
Okay.
That's exactly what this is.
And what's the style?
It's supposed to be a double dry hopped IPA, but the problem being they have too much yeast in suspension in their effort to make it a hazy IPA. So that's what you got here. And it's gross. So I'm going to pour this for you while
thanks.
You...
Thanks.
Hook us up.
Yeah. Go ahead and kick us off on the next segment.
All right. So our next segment is going to be the second part of our feature segment, which is the recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
We're busting out.
And we're going with a movie from 1953, directed by Billy Wilder. It's got a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's called Stalag 17.
Digger!
Digger! Yeah, life was confining but never dull in Stalag 17. The boys were up to something new every minute. There were the races every afternoon. The dance on Saturday night.
Did anybody ever tell you you had the most beautiful legs in the world?
The cocktail hour when the bar was open.
What are you serving today? Nitric acid!
And if you think everything was roses, it wasn't. Stalag 17 was a hellhole where no man ever escaped alive.
One of us is a stoolie, a dirty, stinking stoolie.
One of them a German spy, reporting every move to von Schirbach, the commandant. One of them a hunted fugitive, as the Nazis turned Stalag 17 inside out and upside down to find him. One of them a big-time operator who played the million-to-one shot. Tunneling out of Stalag 17.
Just one more word. If I ever run into any of you bums on a street corner, just let's pretend we never met before.
Now, Sean, I think you enjoyed this a little bit more than I did. Why don't you give us a quick recap?
Sure thing. I recommended this one over one of our original picks. So you've got World War II prisoners who are Americans who are in a German war camp, prison, POW camp, and it's very much the framework for Hogan's Heroes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Hogan's Heroes borrowed heavily from this film.
Yeah, there's nothing that I could find that says it was directly based on this, but it, like you said, very much influenced by.
There's quite a bit of comedy, and my negative criticism of this film is that they went a little overboard with the slapstick from their two clowns of the group. But you've got your POWs who are wanting to get out. It's the movie even starts out with the jailbreak itself that fails.
The failed jailbreak. The spoiler alert, the escapees get caught almost immediately.
So the rest of the film involves each of the characters kind of understanding who they are and what they are. William Holden's character, he plays J.J. Sefton, who is essentially the shop owner.
Yeah.
He's got a trunk full of stuff, and he knows how to trade cigarettes for what?
Kind of like Red in Shawshank.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the guy who can get things.
They even run a racetrack with the rats
as
horses, and they take bets on them. And so there's a lot of lighthearted, fun stuff, but really at its core, you've got...
Do you think that's where the term rat race comes from?
Maybe. No, I don't know. And so you have a high-ranking lieutenant who gets put in the camp as well, and his sidekick, for lack of a better term. And
they want to make an attempt to get him out because they're going to come down hard on this guy because he was successful in a very damaging sabotage.
Okay.
And so the Germans are going to come down on him. So the guys are really trying to get them out of camp. But what they discover is that there is a snitch among them, a double agent, if you will.
And that's really the heart of the film.
That is the heart of the film.
How that jailbreak got busted so quickly because somebody had to inform.
And William Holden's character very early on is fingered as being the double agent.
Because he's cool with the guards.
Right. And so the rest of the film is him trying to redeem himself, saying, I'm not the guy.
Trying to find
the I'm going to find out who the guy is. And I'm not going to give away who the guy is, but it's good. That part of the film, to me, was the best part. I really enjoyed the intrigue of them trying to root out who the bad guy was.
At that point, it becomes a mystery.
Right, and when they do find out, he gets his comeuppance in a big, bad way. I love it.
So I'm going to say that I don't hate this nearly as much as the previous beer we had from this brewery. It's not terrible.
It's okay.
The 1, 2, 3 roles that we're going to be recasting in this are the aforementioned J.J. Sefton, played by William Holden. We've also got Stanislaus Animal Kazawa, played by Robert Strauss. And then Price, played by Peter Graves, who people would remember from the Mission Impossible TV series.
As well as the Airplane movies?
Yeah, yeah. Airplane or Airport?
Airport.
Airport.
Airport, yeah. The serious version.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into it. Sean, you're going first. Your JJ?
This is the one I struggled with the most.
Okay.
But I finally figured out who I wanted. Let's see. William Holden, 35 years old. I went with a 41-year-old actor from Austin, Texas. He was in The O.C.
Okay.
He was in 88 Minutes. He was in Southland.
I know who it is.
He can be seen on the TV show Gotham.
Yep.
It's Ben McKenzie.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. I also really liked that show, Southland. It's got Abraham from Walking Dead also.
Nice.
Cool deal, dude. Well, my actor is a bit older. He is 50 now. But he is a very, let's say, true to the craft actor, and he might take himself a little bit too seriously. He was in Primal Fear. He was in The Incredible Hulk. He was in American History X. His name is Edward Norton.
Good job.
Edward Norton is going to be my William Holden. And I'm also kind of excited to see his new movie, Motherless Brooklyn. It's supposed to be, there's some Oscar buzz about it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's good.
All right. So, Chelsea.
Okay, two things.
Yes.
I just finished the latest season of Schitt's Creek, which was amazing.
Yeah.
So that's on my brain.
With Eugene Levy?
Yeah. So that's kind of...
And his son.
Yeah. And his daughter.
What?
I know. So that's kind of on my brain. The other thing is this genre has so much fucking testosterone, I can't stand it.
Yeah, it's true.
I cannot stand it. So I'm going to do an all-female cast.
Okay, I like it. Do it, dude.
So I'm going to cast Emily Hampshire, who plays Stevie Budd.
Stevie. Campfire?
No. Hampshire.
Who's Stevie Budd?
She's on Schitt's Creek. Do you not watch this show either? Oh, my God.
She was also the Brad Pitt character in the TV version of 12 Monkeys.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Okay, then next we've got Animal. And give us a little bit more about his character.
Okay, so yeah, Animal was one half of the comic relief for the film.
He's also the drummer in the Muppets.
He's very bombastic, and I hope I'm not stepping on a pick that you may make. He reminds me of like a young Brad Garrett from
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh yeah, yeah, a little bit.
That's almost like the carbon copy in terms of getting an idea of how this guy's delivery works.
It wasn't meant to be.
But he's obsessed with what was the actress that he was obsessed with? Betty Grable.
Betty Grable.
There we go. He was obsessed with her. And there's a scene when he gets super drunk on toilet wine or whatever they made.
Bathtub hooch.
They actually look like real wine bottles. Watch out for that stout there.
It's got a widget.
they were drunk on real wine, actually, because it was Christmas, and they were drinking, and he got drunk, and looking at his Betty Grable poster in his bunk. Everybody's dancing with each other in the barracks, by the way. They're like waltzing and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's really cute. So he wakes up, and he looks at his friend, the other half of the comedy duo, and sees Betty Grable instead.
Uh-oh.
And so he starts dancing with him and starts really coming on to him.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, it's pretty funny and silly. But anyway, that's the hot take on Animal.
Okay, and who's going to be your recast?
All right, so my actor is not really known for his on-camera work, but he's more known for his voice work. He does a lot of animation. You would know him from, well, here's film work. You would know him from the Transformers movies.
Huh.
You would know him from Zootopia.
Okay.
He's done some stuff on American Dad, but you would most know him as the voice of Bender on Futurama.
Oh, yeah.
John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio is an amazing voice actor. He's on so many cartoons.
And I think he would make an excellent version of this guy.
Yeah, yeah, I can see it. That's awesome, dude. Really like it. All right, Chelsea, what do you think?
So, again, she's on Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
She's Eugene Levy's daughter.
Ah.
Her name is Sarah Levy.
Well, when the Levy breaks.
Right? And she plays Twyla on Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
If you watched it, you would know who I'm talking about.
I like
about.
That name, Twyla.
Right?
Twyla Tharp, famous dancer and choreographer. Well.
Who you got?
My actor is 41 now. He was in Mamma Mia. He's also in Need for Speed. And he plays the title role in the series Preacher. His name is Dominic Cooper. Dominic Cooper Ooh, is going to be my
good.
Animal. Oh, he was also in a movie called The Escape, but it wasn't about a prison break. All right, we've got one more. And that is the role of Price, played by Peter Graves, who was 26 at the time. And Chelsea.
Oh, you want me to go first?
I'm just going all willy-nilly.
I didn't watch this movie. Again, I watched the trailer.
Mm.
It didn't look very interesting to
cool.
me. But I'm going to go with Annie Murphy, who plays Alexis Rose.
On Schitt's Creek?
On Schitt's Creek.
All right. So what is she going to bring to the role?
Alexis Rose, because I just see them as their characters on Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
She's super vapid.
Uh-huh.
And all about herself.
Nice.
That actually works.
I think she's going to do a great job.
Very good. All right, Sean.
Okay, so Peter Graves, I just picture as being the elder statesman Peter Graves.
Yeah.
This is the first movie.
He's super young in this.
This is the first movie I've seen him in where he was the young Peter Graves, 27 years old.
Yep.
He was a strapping young man.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect for the part, not to give away anything major about what happens, but I wanted somebody who was a nice, young, strapping young lad as well. This actor is also 27. He was born in Vancouver, Canada.
Andrew! And Chelsea.
And Chelsea.
Thank you.
God, this was a theme last week. He was in the Hunger Games.
Okay.
I did not intentionally pick a lot of Hunger Games cast members.
Shout out to Norma for dressing as Katniss and winning the costume
great.
Contest.
That was great. So he was the role of Cato in the Hunger Games. Whatever that was. He was in Lone Survivor. And
he just sleeps on the couch in the guest room.
Sure. And The Final Girls.
Oh, I like The Final Girls.
Really? Okay. Well, he was in that. And his famous role is in the History Channel series Vikings. He plays Bjorn Lothbrok.
Okay.
His name is Alexander Ludwig.
Alexander Ludwig.
Exactly.
I like it. Did you not see The Final Girls?
Mm.
It's kind of a horror satire.
I would love it.
So like the final girl being the last girl who's alive in a slasher movie. That's what it's a reference to.
While we're on the topic of horror satire, American Horror Story 1984, this season.
Uh-huh.
So good.
It's good?
It's so good.
Nice.
I gave up on that show years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, I love
me
it.
Me too, kind of.
And Marco talked me into watching it again.
Uh-huh.
This season's really funny.
All right. So my price My Price is also a young, strapping man. He is 27 now. He was in Sing Street. He's also in a movie called Kin. And then most recently, we saw him in Midsummer. His name's Jack Rayner. Jack nice. Rayner is going to be my Price. Originally played very by Peter
cool,
Graves.
Very cool. I realized after the fact that I really muffed my Halloween costume. I should have dressed as Florence Pugh from Midsommar.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen some of the cosplay for
no.
this? Look online for Midsommar Halloween costumes.
Okay. Did you guys see Janelle Monáe's costume?
No.
So the caption of the Twitter post says, Janelle Monáe wins Halloween. Everybody else can just pack up and go home. So you see this figure in a white dress kind of floating and turning, but there's no head. And as she turns around, you see that she's holding her own head. And
oh,
it's
cool.
her actual head. I don't know how the fuck she pulled it off, but it's crazy. Also, I just love Janelle Monáe.
Very nice.
We're in love. That's going to wrap us up on the recast continued. Recommend, Sean?
I recommend it if you can get past the slapstick. I know you had an issue with the voiceover. Narration.
Yeah, the voiceover narration was weird. But what's also weird is that I didn't mind it at all in Shawshank Redemption or Goodfellas. It just seemed a little bit too campy in this.
Yeah.
But I'll still give it a recommend.
I think it's a solid
film.
I think this film could be redone as a very serious film.
Right. Like a hard Prison Break movie. Chelsea, would you recommend the trailer?
I mean, yeah, if you've got like a couple minutes to kill, okay. Go for it.
Good deal.
Wow.
All right. So that's going to go ahead and wrap us up on that.
Way to give 20%.
And we are going to go into our bonus segment tonight, which is going to be a battle royale, a fight to the death between some motley criminals. First, we've got the Hamburglar. We've got Snake from The Simpsons.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got the Beagle Boys from DuckTales. Who's going to win, Chelsea? Also, only one Beagle Boy gets to fight it at a time.
I'm going to go Hamburglar.
Hamburglar?
Thank you. I can't say that.
Hamburger?
Can you not say hamburger or burglar?
I can't say them together.
You just put them together. Hamburglar.
No, I can't do it.
Hamburger.
Hamburger.
Isn't that what Trump said? Hamburger?
Steamed buns or steamed... Steamed hams is what he said.
Oh
steamed hams,
God.
Which is what I call hamburgers.
Wow.
Because I didn't say steamed clams. I said steamed hams, which is what I call hamburgers. What? You just made it way worse. I'm going with Snake because, obviously, Simpsons. Huge Simpsons fan.
I'm going to go with Snake as well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Hamburglar ultimately just wants hamburgers.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that as your aspiration. I just know that Snake is a little bit more diabolical than
that.
Yeah,
he is.
I mean, what did the Beagle Boys ever get after?
All of Scrooge McDuck's gold.
Yeah.
Did they ever succeed?
No.
Exactly. Not. Snake has succeeded.
Uh-huh.
And so he's got a track history of some you know, mayhem. So he's my pick.
I'm also not entirely convinced that he is not Nelson Muntz's dad.
This might be true.
Because we never see... Well, we do in one episode where he goes out for a pack of cigarettes. But anyway, I think that he's the real dad of Nelson. All right. So that's going to wrap us up. We do want to plug the podcast itself. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We are also hosted natively online at Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. We're tweeting. Twitter at Cinema Chop Shop. Facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. And then our email address, which we check all the time, is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And then the beers that we tasted today, we're going to check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there as well. I want to thank the engineer, Sean. Thank you for doing what you do.
You got it.
Anything you want to plug today?
Well, we've got one more episode of Right Answers with Wrong Travis.
That's true.
Next
episode
week.
12, season 4, episode 12, week 12. Week 12. It's not a show.
It's not an episode. That's right. But then we're going to go on a hiatus.
I think a brief hiatus, yeah.
Yeah, until December. We've got some things happening at the brewery, though.
Mm-hmm.
We got some big developments. You'll see some construction at Seminar Brewing.
Mm-hmm. Seminarbrewing.com.
We've got those axe throwers that we talked about at the head of the show. That's happening. So that's pretty cool. And I do want to say this. We are going to be closed on Thanksgiving.
Okay, good.
However, the guys at Downtown Southern Funk will be having their own family Thanksgiving at the brewery that day. And if you are a first responder or public servant.
Or a teacher.
Come by the brewery. They will feed you for free on Sweet. Thanksgiving.
All right. Well, what is next week's episode, Sean?
We are talking about the films of one. Is it Roy Scheider?
Roy Scheider.
All right.
Yeah. So it's in honor of the 87th anniversary of his birth. Of course, he's no longer with us. Rest in peace. But most people would know him from Jaws and Jaws 2: The Revenge. I think he was in both of the first two Jaws movies.
Yeah.
But originally, Steven Spielberg was not the director of Jaws. This first director was fired after meeting with producers and studio executives. In the meeting, he said that his opening shot would have the camera come out of the water to show the town, then the whale, instead of a shark, would come out of the water. The producers said that they were not making Moby Dick, and they would not work with someone who didn't know the difference between a whale and a shark.
Wow.
Who was that first director?
Stanley Kubrick.
It was Dick Richards.
Who Dick the fuck Richards. Is Dick Richards?
Moby Dick Richards.
Who's Dick Richards?
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But he was the original director signed on to direct Jaws until he really shit the bed.
That's
kind
of like not reading the assignment
right.
and going in for a book report kind of
thing. I'm just
going
to wing it.
I'm just going to wing it. You know, whatever.
All right, so that is your sneak preview question and answer for the next trivia. Right Answers with Wrong Travis. It's coming up this Wednesday. So if you listen to this episode, you will have a leg up on the competition. And with that, we will say farewell. Thank you to you, the listeners. And please remember to watch chop, retrofit.
And remember to thank your guests.
Thank you, guest.